Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. How many of you remember the day you got saved? Whoo, I'll never get over that. I'll always remember it. And if you don't remember when you were saved, I'd love to share how you can know that you've been born again tonight before you leave. God saves instantly, immediately, and forever. I'm so thankful for that. Y'all had a little bit, just not a whole lot, but you had a little bit of homework last time. Y'all were supposed to read Exodus 20, 1 through 21. And let me just kind of get some feedback from y'all before we dive in. Now, did everybody get the handout for tonight? Everybody get tonight's handout? Anybody that didn't? All right, Thomas, you did good. You got everybody one. In the first day, in the Exodus 20 chapter, I ask you all to read the Ten Commandments and see how many of those you could quote. And you weren't supposed to look at them first. How did y'all do?
Fair.
All right. Did anybody quote all 10? 9. 8. Okay, a few of you had 8. Good, good. Did you make any comments on what you already knew on day one? What were those comments?
More than 10.
More than 10. Okay, let's go to day two. I ask you to read the book of Exodus from the beginning till you get to chapter 20. And you remember there was some stuff that happened in the first 19 chapters of Exodus. And what is the significance of the Ten Commandments in light of the events in the first part of Exodus? What, you know, all that stuff that happened before the Ten Commandments were given, how does that fit in to Exodus chapter 20? Anybody? Well, y'all tell me, what happened before Exodus 20? Egypt. And I'm not going to... Do what? Anytime in the Bible when you see folks going down to Egypt, it's usually not a real good thing. There's something about going down, right? And you're absolutely right, Ellen. There wasn't a lot of good things that happened in Egypt. Originally, of course, God saved Jacob and his family from famine through Joseph. They lived in Goshen. But as time went on, they wound up with a new Pharaoh and another Pharaoh. And before long, the Pharaoh didn't know anything about Joseph and Jacob and the Israelites, did they? So what do you think when you were reading in day 2 and 3, what were the significance of the Ten Commandments in light of what they had already experienced? Did you try to put yourself in their shoes? Okay. God was speaking through Moses to the children of Israel. What did Moses bring down off Mount Sinai? Not the 10 suggestions. The 10 commandments. And did any of you look, you know, try to put yourselves in the shoes of the Israelites and standing down at the foot of Mount Sinai. Did you try to picture that scene? And after being led out of slavery and what that might have been and how you were feeling. And then Moses brings these Ten Commandments. And by the way, you know, one of the things I asked you all to do was read verses 1 through 21 out loud. Do you know how the Israelites heard the Ten Commandments? They were read out loud to them. So how would you, being an Israelite there that day, what would have been the impact on you?
Well, they'd been in Egypt where they weren't any God.
Right.
And that's what God made us down.
Okay.
One God, don't make any name of you.
Uh-huh.
Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. You know.
Very good. Although the message of the Ten Commandments was things are different now. And you've got one true living God. And here's what this God expects from you. And that kind of thing. Did any of y'all read those verses out loud? In my devotional time this morning, I had an Old Testament passage that I read. And then I had a Psalms that I read. And then some Proverbs that I read out loud. And then I read some out of Matthew out loud. And there's just something about making you focus on what you're reading when you say the words out loud. And it really made me concentrate and made me meditate better, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Do y'all prefer, I asked a question here. Let me let y'all answer it. I said, do you prefer a verbal or written presentation of the Scriptures? Verbal? Why do you ladies prefer a verbal presentation over a written presentation? Okay. More personal. There you go. All right. How many of you prefer? Yeah, Dick. Right. And God did give them a written. Gave them the Ten Commandments. And then what happened to those Ten Commandments? That's right. Now, this is significant. I said, try to determine if the order of the commandments is significant. And are they prioritized? Can you determine any groupings, if you mix them up, would they be as effective? Were there any groupings of the commandments? Okay, the first four had to do with their relationship directly with God. That's just four. What about the other six? Have to do with our relationship with one another. And so, do you remember what Jesus said? You remember that fellow, that lawyer said, now, which ones are the most important commandments? Remember what Jesus said? So the first four have to do with loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the last six have to do with loving your neighbor. And so you see how the ten, God didn't come to do away with the law and the prophet. He came to fulfill the law and the prophet. So that's good. Now, and then the last day, I asked, now this is not a right or wrong question. I said, what three things can you find that I didn't mention? Did you find three things the last day in those verses that maybe you discovered that you hadn't seen before? Talk to me. Thou shalt. Okay.
I read two or three times. He said, thou shalt dwell during time.
Okay. So there's how many thou shalt's?
12.
That's interesting. That's a good discovery. Right. Right. Number 12 in the Bible is significant. It's significant. It speaks of divine completion, divine wholeness. Number 12 is very, very significant. Other discoveries, other things that y'all noticed maybe that you had, Brother Larry. His Rolex.
Yeah. You know. And I think we just say thou shalt not covet. We just go over. But that gets down deep.
Mm-hmm. I was brother, have you ever ran into these preachers that can preach up a storm and they can sing and they're just multi-talented, and I ran into a guy like this a few weeks ago, and I just walked up to him after the service and I said, I just want you to know something. I don't like you. And he knew I was kidding with him. And he said, what did I do to you? And I said, I've just broken the 10th commandment about 20 times in here. You know, because I want your voice. And I went, well, anyways. So coveting goes a long way around, doesn't it? I mean, there are a lot of things that things. What else did y'all notice? Anything? Yes. Before Moses wound up on the backside of the desert for 40 years, why did he leave Egypt? Yeah, he killed an Egyptian. Premeditated. I think God used that experience in his life. He didn't know at the time, you know, that that's what God was going to call him to do. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Whether that man meant it or not, God was still raised, and he was heard across the world by the United States. And that did make him proud to be American. He's moved from observation to application. But that's exactly what observation does. When you do good observation, you move towards interpretation and then application. You brought up the issue about Moses being a murderer. He did murder that Egyptian. I don't know if it was premeditated or not, Dick. He did look around to make sure nobody was watching. I don't know that he planned it out. That's what premeditated says to me. But it doesn't really matter. He murdered somebody. You know, he killed somebody. And yet God, you ask any Jewish person today, who was your greatest prophet? You know who they'll tell you? Moses. You ask them, who is your greatest king? Who will they say?
David.
Yeah, David.
They both killed somebody.
And look what David did. And so what that means is, well, number one, there isn't any of us that deserve to serve God.
Amen.
Not a one of us. Nobody here is good enough to serve God, including your pastor. I don't deserve to be serving where I'm serving. But out of God's grace and out of God's mercy, and I'll tell you what he does do with stuff like we're talking about, he humbles us and teaches us. God doesn't waste anything, any experience that we have. He doesn't waste any of that. He uses it to train us and teach us and move us in the direction that he wants us to go in. So y'all did a good job making some observations in those 21 verses. Yes, sir, Dick. Right. They were nasty, filthy. You didn't have anything to do with them. Yeah. Yeah. It's real cool. And you know what that says to me in here today? I started my day off over at the Tabernacle Christian School up on Boot Hill with Brother Jimmy Terry's old church and old school. I do their chapel service every Wednesday. And you know what I told those kids up there? I said, there may be another president of the United States sitting right in this room today. And I just heard Whitney Houston's rendition of the Star Spangled Banner that morning. And I want to tell you what, everybody else is playing for second place. If y'all have ever heard her sing that at that Super Bowl, my goodness. And so I said, there could be a Whitney Houston in here to sing for the glory of God. There may be some lawyers or some doctors or some politicians. I don't know. But you know what? God will use anybody.
Yeah.
He will use anybody. And you don't know what I've done, Brother Cal. I don't care what you've done. God can raise up anyone from anywhere at any time. And you know what? I think God takes special pleasure in using messed up folks. Because that way he gets the glory.
Amen.
Whoo! All right. Enough of Exodus. We have learned, or we've talked about, I should say, in this observation process of Bible study, we've talked about becoming better Bible students, better Bible detectives, learning how to read our Bibles more thoughtfully, more repeatedly and patiently. We talked about how to read those three areas, thoughtfully, repeatedly, and patiently. And that's what I was trying to get across there in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 through 21. But tonight, we're going to talk about reading our Bibles selectively, prayerfully, imaginatively, and meditatively. And you'll see what I mean here. First of all, let's look at reading your Bible selectively. Now, you remember there were six questions that I mentioned when we first got started, six W's, that you ought to ask anytime you're in the Bible, a text, a paragraph, a chapter, a Bible, a book of the Bible, six W's. What were those six W's? Who, what, when, where, why, and wherefore, which is also how. So those six W's, and that's what I'm talking about, reading selectively. And so when you're reading across Exodus chapter 20, who are the people involved? And what is being said about those people? What are the people themselves saying? Who is the writer writing to? Every single book in your Bible, there's an author, a biblical author for that book, and that person is writing to certain people. And somehow that Bible book wound up in the Bible. So who is doing the writing? Who is he writing to? Who is involved in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? And then secondly, you need to ask, what's going on? What's happening in the passage? You know, every biblical author has a point. They've got a point. They're trying to get their subject matter across. And so there's a main idea in every passage of Scripture. What's the main idea in "You shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and when that power has come, you shall be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world"? What's the main idea of that whole passage in Acts 1:8? Remember? Be witnesses. God, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, He's going to fill us and give us the power. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you," so that we can be His. That's the main idea of that verse of Scripture. Every passage of Scripture that you're reading. Now remember, when it was first written, it didn't have the verse numbers or the chapter numbers. It was just written in paragraphs, you know. And there's a main idea. Every book in the Bible has a main idea to it. So you need to find out, what is the main idea? What is the biblical writer trying to communicate? What's happening? What are the people doing? You need to get that answer. And then number three, where is everything taking place? Where is everything taking place? The passage you all read last week in Exodus 20, where was all that stuff taking place? Where? What mountain? Mount Sinai. Where is Mount Sinai? It is some of the most God-forsaken territory on all the planet. Man, it is a desert down there in Mount Sinai. How many of you have ever heard the Sinai Desert? I mean, it is a barren place. And that's where they received the Ten Commandments. Where is the writer when he's writing? You remember Paul wrote a lot of the letters in your New Testament from where?
Prison.
Of course, you got a lot of time in prison, right? You know? But he wrote a lot of his letters in your New Testament in prison. So where is everything taken? And that's another reason it really helps. Now, this isn't a study Bible, but I've got some maps in the back. And there's a picture of my wife. Isn't she beautiful? She's a little baby there, Ethel. But here's a map. And it's got the picture here of Paul's three missionary journeys. You know, maps are helpful when you're studying something. So where did this take place? This map here is a map of Israel and Judah. Here's a map of Samaria and Galilee and Judea and Dead Sea. So make sure you've got some maps handy. That'll help you. And then the fourth W is when. When is everything taking place? That's the question of time. When did they occur in relation to other events in the Scriptures? When was the writer writing? For instance, Psalm 22. David wrote Psalm 22. And man, it is a picture of the cross. It's about how the Messiah would die on a cross. Do you know when David wrote that? It was 1,000 years before Jesus was ever crucified. That's significant. Isaiah 53. Is the clearest picture of the cross that we have in the Old Testament. When did Isaiah write that? 700 years before the cross. And so you need to, time-wise, figure out when did all of this stuff happen? When did it occur? When did the writer write this stuff? And then number five, why is this included in the Bible? Why, I guess, involves the question of meaning. What does this mean? Why did this person say that? Why did someone say nothing? Why is this account in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not in John? There's some things that that some of the gospel writers include that don't have it in another gospel. Why is a good question to ask. Asking why leads to other questions. And other questions leads to more learning, leads to more insight. So asking questions, you'll never learn if you don't ask questions. You remember how many times you've been sitting in a class and you had a question and you didn't ask that question? What happened? N-O-T-H-I-N-G, unless somebody else asked it. Right, so when you've got a question, ask it. And then go dig and try to find the answer. And by the way, there ain't a preacher alive that can answer all your questions.
Amen.
Sometimes you just have to say, I don't know what the answer to that question is. But guess who does? He does. And you can dig and find questions and answers and that kind of thing for yourself. And then the last one, number six, wherefore, or how, what difference, how is this working in my life? Now this question kind of leads you from moving into, from observation into interpretation and then into application like Scott was doing a minute ago. But after reading a passage of Scripture thoughtfully, repeatedly, patiently, and selectively, I think it's okay to start asking, well, so what? So what? I would encourage you, if something happens to me tonight and I head out and I'm with Jesus tomorrow, y'all find you a pastor who's an expository preacher.
Amen.
And what expository preachers do is they take a passage of Scripture, like Billy Walker does in Sunday school, and they answer two questions. What does this passage mean? What does this passage say? And then they also cover the so what question. What does this mean for me? What? So what? That's expository preaching, taking a passage of Scripture and answering those two questions. What does this passage say? What does this passage mean? What? So what? Does that make sense? That's the best way to teach your people. How many of you think Billy Walker's a great Bible teacher? That's what he does. Every single Sunday morning, he answers those two questions in whatever chapter of the Bible y'all are in. What? So what? That's what I do when I'm preaching. Most of the time I'll take a passage of Scripture and try to answer. That's expository preaching and teaching. That's what you want. So the so what question answers wherefore. And so asking these six questions will help you to unlock whatever Bible passage you're reading. Am I making sense to y'all? Okay. I don't want to get to talking about this tonight, okay? But ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox News, they all watched the same debate last night that y'all did. But guess what? All four of them had a different viewpoint. And they saw the same thing. You know why? Because they're asking these six W's. And so everybody's asking different questions and looking at, they get a little bit different take on it, right? Y'all with me? Okay. And so why not begin using those in your own Bible study? Are y'all with me? Did y'all eat a heavy supper or what? Anyways, all right, let's look at reading prayerfully. Now, we got to hurry. Bible study and prayer are not separate disciplines. Prayer is the key to effective Bible study. Every morning when I get my my Bible out, my Reading Your Bible Daily Bible out, here's my prayer. I say, Lord, make me smart enough this morning to understand what you're trying to tell me. Help me to understand what I'm reading here this morning. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And God, give me the wisdom to obey what you want to teach me. In Jesus' name. So every time I open my Bible, I pray. Why not get God involved? He's the teacher, right? And the Holy Spirit that lives within you, He hears that prayer. So, and when you're praying, just talk to the Lord like you would somebody that you really do respect. You don't have to pray the King James English. Oh, wouldest thou, Father, descend from heaven today and grant thy servant some monetary... You don't have to pray that way. Just pray like me and Brother Larry are talking right here. Okay? And no need to do that. So, you can even turn... I'll do this in the Psalms. The Psalms are written... Some of them are written as a song or a prayer. And you can pray that song. Try that sometime. Y'all all know Psalm 23. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. Yes. There you go. I wondered if y'all catch that. So just pray these prayers back to Him. Read prayerfully. Read imaginatively. You know, put your sanctified imagination on alert when you're reading the Bible. Read between the lines. Remember, we talked about reading it like you would a love letter. Read the Bible as you're coming to it for the very first time. And by the way, the Bible is not boring. Amen. We make it boring. Even those genealogies. Y'all, would we read through a genealogy? Those are real people. I mean, you got Teddy Bates in the Old Testament genealogies. I mean, those are real folks with real stories and real lives. So read that Bible of yours with an imagination about you. That's why sometimes it helps to use different translations and paraphrases. It helps keep the Word of God fresh and alive. And remember, I was telling you all about that prisoner who jumped all over me for bringing a New King James Bible down to the prison. Do y'all know why we have the 1611 King James Bible today? Because King James wanted the common people to have a contemporary version of the Bible. That's why you've got a King James Bible. And so it helps, you know, and I told you all about Proverbs 20:30, didn't I? Sometimes the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inwardmost parts of the belly. I don't have a clue what that means. And I've had 10 years of education after high school. And some of y'all may think they didn't do a very good job. Maybe they didn't. But the Living Bible says sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Sometimes a different translation will help in interpretation anyways. So read imaginatively. How many of you like to read in your prayer closet? How many of you like to read in the kitchen with a cup of coffee? How many of you like to read outside when the weather's good? Oh, there ain't nothing like reading your Bible out here on the deck when the river... you can get close to Jesus right down here. So read in different settings. Read meditatively. This is a hard one for us, but Joshua 1:8 reveals that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you shall... be careful to do according to all that's written in it, and then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So the Joshua 1:8 says that the key to a great Bible study is learning how to meditate on the Word of God. So how do I meditate on the Scriptures? How do you do that? Well, Lord, let's see. I read Acts 1:8 today, and that says I'm supposed to be a witness, Lord. What does that mean today? And then as you go to the bank, Lord, am I supposed to witness to her? Well, what does giving somebody a witness mean? Well, you're planting seeds, you know. And then you go down the street and you start thinking again, God, what does this mean today? What is Jerusalem? Is this my Jerusalem? Yeah. That's what it means to just chew on that verse all day long. Just chew on it. Digest it. Let it become a part of you. Am I making sense? Read meditatively. I don't really want to get into the rest of the stuff I wrote there because we're moving into application and we're going to learn a lot about application. Here's the assignment I want to give you. Read through Mark 4, I'll tell you what, let's just go there and I'm going to read out loud, okay? Mark 4, verse 35. This is a fabulous passage of Scripture. Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day, immediately there's a question that pops up in my mind. On the same day, what question pops up? Six W's. Yeah. What day are you talking about? Yeah. What else happened? On the same day, here it is, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But, remember what we said about but? He was in the stern. Who is he? Asleep on a pillow. Why was he sleeping? Duh, he's tired, you know? And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? We're about to drown, and here you are sleeping on us." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." In the Greek language, y'all, that literally means to be muzzled. That's what he said to that storm, be muzzled. Y'all know what a muzzle is? You put that on a dog. And so what he's, in layman's terms, he just got up and told the wind and the waves, shut up. Shut up. Be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" All right, I want y'all to go through that passage this week. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses. Just go through that passage this week several times and ask the 6 questions that we learned about in selective reading and make some observations. Who? What? When? Where? Why and wherefore, and then just jot down some notes. How many of y'all brought some notes tonight? Very good, very good, very good. Jot down some notes so you can bring them with you. Are y'all with me? Everybody understand? Y'all are moving along. You're going to learn how to study your Bible. Any questions? Okay. Yes, Taryn. Okay. Ted and Pam Ketch sat right up here Sunday and they came for prayer. He's got bad kidney issues, needs a new kidney. And so they're flushing his kidney out tonight, and then he's going back. He failed his stress test. So y'all pray for Tad tomorrow. I want you to pray for me. I'm doing a funeral for the Wilkinson family. Not everybody there knows the Lord. So you pray that God would use me to bring others.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.